things big and small.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. In just over an hour, President Barack Obama will announce a plan to help small businesses. The package includes reduced lending fees and an increase on the guarantee to certain Small Business Administration loans. This is another step to help unlock the credit market. It's a big business, though, that's grabbing most of the attention this morning. Insurance giant American International Group has received $170 billion in government help. Over the weekend, AIG released information about how some of that money is being spent. From North Carolina Public Radio Marketplace's Janet Babin has more.
AIG has released a list of about 80 firms that benefited from the bailout money. The insurance company says paying other banks used up a total of $90 billion in federal rescue cash. Some of the big winners were investment bank Goldman Sachs. It took in almost $13 billion. A few European banks like Societe Generale and Deutsche Bank did almost as well. Congress and taxpayers had been asking AIG where the money went for months. The company finally caved after reports surfaced that it'll use some of the bailout money to pay employee bonuses worth at least $165 million in the very division responsible for the meltdown. AIG says the bonus pay is set in stone, that it could face lawsuits if it doesn't pay up. The company promised the Obama administration to hold back on future bonus pay. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Rather than holding back on future pay, Barney Frank has another idea.
Since the federal government now essentially owns that company, maybe it's time to fire some people.
Frank is the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. He made those comments this morning on NBC's Today Show. Ben Bernanke also expressed anger about AIG during an interview last night on the CBS program 60 Minutes. And the Fed chief said he thinks the recession will probably end this year. That's giving Wall Street a little juice this morning. The Dow is up 75 points to 72.99, just over a percent there. The Nasdaq is half a percent lower at 14.24. The S&P 500, up a percent as well to 765. European markets remain higher this hour, and it was a positive day for major markets in Asia. Oil's trading around $44 a barrel. OPEC said yesterday it will not cut production further. The idea is not to add any more stress to the global recession. Today, the Kansas State Senate debates a bill designed to save taxpayers some money. It would eliminate the death penalty in Kansas. The Sunflower State isn't the only one reconsidering the cost of putting defendants on death row. Friday, the New Mexico legislature voted to repeal executions in favor of a life sentence without parole. Colorado and New Hampshire are also considering abolishing their death penalties, in part due to the expense. As Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, the economy may be changing how state governments measure justice.
Last year, an Urban Institute study found that each death penalty case cost the state of Maryland $2 million more due to extra hearings and appeals, juries, and lawyers. The study's author, John Roman, says death row security is also expensive.
The daily cost of having them on death row is about three times what it is for a normal prisoner. And then they spend years on death row as the case goes through the appellate process, and there's all sorts of additional costs there.
Supporters of abolishing the Kansas death penalty say it would save $400,000 a case. But the state's attorney general questions those savings. Ashley Anstead is the attorney general's communications director.
Whether you're going for a life sentence or a death sentence, there are still going to be significant appeals. And our attorneys get paid the same regardless of which case we go for, whether it's a death sentence or a life in prison sentence.
Besides, Anstead says, cost should not decide matters of just punishment. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/newoffers.
Party season is underway for cable TV channels. Upfront season has begun. If you work in the industry, your calendar is booked from now until May. Upfront events are a chance for stations to show off their latest programs. They invite advertisers, trot out stars, some cheese plates, and hopefully companies buy some ad time. The question is whether that TV time is going to sell during a downturn. Amanda Aronchik has this report.
The Super Bowl is giving TV companies hope. NBC says it made more from advertising during the big game than ever before. But Mike Reynolds of Multichannel News says NBC had to scrounge for revenue.
Those last few commercial spots were not sold to the day of the game. So that's a little different than the way things have been.
Ad sales have been tepid across the industry, says Mark Gull. He's the VP for ad sales for BBC America. But he's not worried.
We're not changing our plan of attack at all.
Gull's confident the BBC America can win advertisers, even in a recession. Aaron Cohen of Horizon Media buys ad space for companies. He says most TV companies have no idea how much advertisers will be willing to spend.
We're in a period where there are a goodly number of advertisers who really are in a perplexed state as to what they can do with their total advertising budgets for the coming year.
Cohen says advertisers won't buy as much ad space in one go as they have in the past. So it could be a long time before TV channels know how much money they'll make. I'm Amanda Aronchik for Marketplace.
Federal prosecutors have notified a New York court they also want the assets of Bernie Madoff's wife. In a court filing, the government said it will seek the $7 million Manhattan penthouse as well as another $62 million that Ruth Madoff had sought to keep. The 70-year-old Mr. Madoff pleaded guilty last week to securities fraud and perjury, among other charges. Madoff's lawyers had indicated earlier they planned to claim Ruth Madoff was entitled to keep as much as $69 million in assets. They said they're not part of the fraud and that they are in her name. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.